thank you, everybody, for coming. The very most important thing that all of us need to do is show personal commitment, community commitment to this issue. And there's no better way to do that than to stand up and be counted as we think about probably the most important people's asset in our region, and that's the White Mountain National Forest. So thank you so much for coming and for your commitment to protecting the forest. Susan asked me to look at what should be a very simple question, and that is, does Northern Pass have the right to go through the White Mountain National Forest? Can Northern Pass obtain a special use permit that will give it the right to cross the White Mountain National Forest? We did a substantial amount of work to try to answer this question. This is the White Mountain National Forest Land and Resource Plan and its related documents, the Environmental Impact Statement, comment summaries, and the like. It's very big. Sandy and I read it cover to cover. We also looked at the recent precedents elsewhere in the U.S. involving crossings by transmission lines of national forests or national parks. We did so with a different perspective than we usually take. We didn't say, let's figure out what arguments we can raise to make it difficult for Northern Pass. Instead, we said, let's look for the right answer. What is the right answer to the question, can Northern Pass cross the National Forest? We looked principally at the National Forest Management Plan. There's a whole another set of stuff out there, federal energy policy, that we'll talk about very briefly at the end of the session. But our focus is, does the White Mountain National Forest Plan allow this use? We have three conclusions. First, in our view, Northern Pass, as it is currently proposed, that is with above ground towers, even the pretty V-strings at 85 feet, Northern Pass, as currently proposed, the White Mountain National Forest crossing does not meet the high hurdles that are set forth in the Forest Management Plan. Does not meet them. Second, unless the proposal is substantially changed by undergrounding or some other design change or route change so that it will not have a material additional impact on the existing PS&H corridor, we believe it is likely that the Forest Service will deny the permit. Third, and this is the unfortunate part, it'd be wonderful if this would all happen tomorrow, if we could get the process accelerated so a decision would come that would say, we're just done with it. But that's not going to happen. The Forest Service has made it clear that they will wait for the full environmental impact statement to be designed, written, and completed before they make a decision, which means it's likely a 2 to 3 year process until we hear the answer. A couple of words about process that have happened so far. While all of us have been busy on other parts of Northern Pass, an awful lot has happened in the White Mountain National Forest. In 2010, Northern Pass made preliminary screening applications to the forest supervisor to talk about the first steps in getting a special use permit. In 2011, Tom Wagner, who is the forest supervisor for the White Mountain National Forest, issued a letter basically, there's more detail than we can get into, but basically allowing Northern Pass to proceed with its application, even though he did, in our view, an excellent job of leaving open the key issues. He left open the key issues of whether the project meets the public interest, whether alternatives are better, for example, whether it should be buried. And so Northern Pass clearly wanted to accelerate the decision-making at the Forest Service. We should all give some kudos to the Forest Service for taking care to be sure they didn't answer questions before they should. Again, the USFS, the Forest Service, will not make a decision for 2 to 3 years, so a lot of time is left for us to influence the process as well as Northern Pass. when we tried to answer Susan's question of whether Northern Pass has the right to cross the forest, we looked for the clearest sets of rules that would be applied in the forest plan to Northern Pass. As Becky mentioned, there are hundreds and hundreds of possible impacts, from wildlife to health to recreation to tourism to habitat, soils, everything. The whole range of matters that's covered in the plan is open for discussion in terms of impacts. We tried to focus, to come to a quick answer, we tried to focus on very specific bright line areas that we could all use as ways to understand what the plan really is all about and what it says and whether, in fact, this line qualifies or not. We found that there are at least three, clear examples where the plan, in our view, does not allow Northern Pass, as currently proposed, to cross the White Mountain National Forest. Number one, you hear this word special use permit. I'm going to call it just a permit to keep it simple. The forest doesn't give somebody a land right. The forest gives a permission. Just like if I come and say, can I walk across your land? You say, sure, go ahead. It's a permission. So what we're talking about here is whether the forest will give a permission to Northern Pass. The rules of the National Forest System are very, very strict when it comes to private commercial uses. Let me read the rule for private uses that would apply to Northern Pass's line. Private uses of National Forest System land must not be authorized when such uses can be reasonably accommodated on other lands. Must not be authorized if they can be reasonably accommodated on other lands. That's a standard in the forest management plan, so those of you who are technically oriented, it's like a law. It's not like we sort of should do it. It's a rule. It says you can't do it if it's a private use and if it can be reasonably accommodated on other lands. We've spoken in detail before in the context of HB 648 and eminent domain about why Northern Pass is private. And so I won't really go into detail here. The key considerations are that no regulatory agency has ever said these transmission lines are necessary. They haven't been ordered as a service to customers. It's an optional elective project, meaning that Northern Pass has thought it up as a way to make money. It's lightly regulated. It's not in the customer rate base. It is for the exclusive use of Hydro-Quebec. And Northern Pass itself, or rather its parent company, Northeast Utilities, has said in an unfortunate slip of the tongue that the project is not needed to keep the lights on. It's all about profit. We think it's clear that the Forest Service will conclude that Northern Pass should be viewed as a private use. Northern Pass's only significant argument to the contrary is, well, we're creating some jobs, we're paying some taxes, we have low carbon benefits, and we can diversify fuel sources. We would dismiss those arguments because those are merely incidental benefits of a project. If you make any investment in electricity infrastructure, well, of course, there are going to be taxes and jobs, more supply, lower prices, and the like. You can sort of test that proposition by saying, would you all think it would make sense to put a Walmart in the White Mountain National Forest? It'd create some jobs. It'd create some taxes. It would create convenience for the population because shopping would be closer. It would drive down prices. Those are incidental benefits, but of course, we would never even think that a private business like Walmart should put a store in the White Mountains. Think of it the same way when you think about Northern Pass. This is not a line to electrify New Hampshire. This is a private business. Are there reasonable alternatives? Of course there are reasonable alternatives. Is Senator Forrester still here? So Senator Forrester's SB 361 commission is looking at the reasonable alternative of burying lines under state highway or railbed rights-of-way. There are other routes that are potentially available, like the existing HVDC corridor elsewhere in New Hampshire. There are regional solutions, such as doubling up the capacity of lines that are either proposed or even in the permitting process in other areas. There are many alternatives. We believe that the standard that I read to you simply will not be met. It's a private line, and there are reasonable, practicable alternatives outside of the whites. Number two, regarding the Appalachian Trail, there is an even higher standard for utility line crossings that affect the trail. Let me read you this. New utility lines are prohibited unless they represent the only feasible and prudent alternative to meet an overriding public need. Overriding public need. Let's be serious. So we already have established, I think, that Northern Pass is not a needed project. We have another rule in the Forest Management Plan that says you can't build this thing across the AT unless it meets an overriding public need. We don't believe it is reasonably possible for Northern Pass to establish that an optional, elective, non-need, non-rate-based, exclusive connector line project that simply links up Hydro-Quebec to the grid is overridingly needed. It just doesn't make sense. Third, and I'll, seeing as I'm at minute 11, I'll defer the detail here to others. The third impossible hurdle for Northern Pass, and we think this is impossible, is scenic impacts for the lines. Ken will talk about scenic impacts, and Hawk may as well. The bottom line is that in certain management areas of the forest, you aren't allowed to build things under shall rules if they have a material impact on the scenic objectives for the area. For the AT management area, those objectives include high and very high, which basically means you can't change the landscape. If anyone has the presentation, take a look at page 11, which is Northern Pass's mock-up of its V-string towers, and look at that little shaded area, which is the existing towers, then look at those massive things, which is the new project. Again, folks, common sense. Could anybody look at you with a straight face and see the change between that little shaded background thing and these massive things you now see in front of you is not a material additional impact? Of course it's being built on the same PS&H corridor, but it's just as if you had a brand new line. It is a hugely different thing in terms of what you see from vantage points on the AT. Again, there'll be more detail on that, I'm sure, from Ken and from Hawk. Let me wrap up by saying, what does it all matter? So if we're right that when you read the Forest Management Plan, Northern Pass's proposal is flatly inconsistent with that plan in at least three bright line ways and likely in dozens of other ways, and we're comfortable with that conclusion, does that mean the project comes to an end? Unfortunately, it doesn't. There are at least three concerns. The first is that we have something called federal energy policy. Federal energy policy is an amorphous thing that is defined on the run in lots of different places and lots of different ways. It encourages new transmission lines, encourages transmission corridors, encourages certain kinds of renewable energy, encourages the connectors for those new developments. There's an inconsistency, potentially, between federal energy policy and its encouragement of new transmission and the limitations in the White Mountain National Forest Plan. We believe, and Will and I were just discussing this, we believe, Sandy and I believe, that that inconsistency is one that we're able to overcome. There is a very clear, and remember this point for your comments, there's a very clear law out there that says you can't do stuff in the White Mountain National Forest unless you meet the terms of the plan. The Forest Service cannot issue a permission for this line unless the terms of the Forest Management Plan are met. So that really puts them in a box. There can be a national energy policy that says, build me new transmission, but if you don't meet the terms of the plan, they're in a box. Point number two, how do you get out of the box? Looking at recent precedents, the Sunrise Powerlink project, the Susquehanna-Rosemont project, transmission lines through national parks and national forests. Unfortunately, if there's sufficient political pressure from above, then there's a possibility of a little game called a plan-specific amendment, where what happens is in theory, and I do not believe this would happen for the whites, I think the possibility is remote, but in theory, they could say, well, we think this is a good project, and so we hereby adopt an amendment that erases anything to the contrary in our thousands of pages of White Mountain Management Plan documentation. They could let it go by changing the rules if they wanted to. Again, I want to emphasize, we don't believe that will happen. We believe we and you would stand up and would prevent that from happening. It should be politically impossible, but it's a risk. The final risk is the passage of time. As we said, it'll take 2 to 3 years until this final decision is made. Lots of stuff can happen. There can be a terrorist attack that knocks out energy supply. There can be a huge problem with the energy grid. There can be new policies that encourage diversity. Natural gas prices can go through the roof. Time is not on our side here because things can change that make Northern Pass look like it is more necessary than it is. And trust me, and for the Northern Pass moles in this audience, please identify yourselves. We're sure Northern Pass is out there right now lobbying hard at ISO New England, at FERC, at the DOE, trying to shape and spin, and thank you, Bob, because it's spin the world so it looks like this thing is necessary. Over time, the randomness of events may give them more of a chance to do that. What can we do, what should we do to address all this? Follow Susan's advice. Comment actively, frequently, and with substance, and with feeling, and with heart, about the White Mountain National Forest. Protect it by putting in your comments. Protect it by showing you've studied it. Protect it by showing you're not going to be gamed by the system and let them do things they shouldn't do to take away your asset. Second, for all the politicians here, please stand up and please do something and please don't just be politicians. It's well and good to make noise, but it's even better to create action. And we need to have our politicians point out that the management plan does not allow this project. Point out that actions in Washington should not undercut the will of the people regarding this project. Thank you very much. I'm well over my time.